year. It's a kind of a special day. Not only is it the first day of the Christian calendar year, but we have a special speaker who is a part of our church family and now a part of my family, and now she's one of my parents' newest granddaughters. She and Grandma, man, they're like, got along great. And what a gift. This is Paula Salazar, who many of us know in Belize. You know, 5 years ago, Jeremy and Tom Snyder, for missions over spring break, took a group of boys to Pastor Luke's orphanage in Haiti. And then the year after, there were too many kids to go to Haiti. They found a place in Costa Rica to help the seminary there. But then the third year, they found through this Praying Pelicans ministry, this beautiful church called the Omega Church that didn't even have a building when they first were there. But the Omega Church is led by one of the most amazing women you will ever meet. And we just call her Pastora. But some people call her Mom. And she and her family of five kids have just done amazing things in the surrounding villages and communities around the Omega Church. And Paula is one of the leaders there. And most of the leaders at this church that are doing these amazing justice ministries are in their late teens or early 20s. Paula's way up there at 21 now. And Paula was able to visit because of Tom's leadership with the mission cell. And now Paula is here for a time attending Washtenaw Community College and also helping out with youth ministry and other things. And so when I first met Paula, I call her La Jefa, which means the boss. Because when I first met her, I was, there is no doubt when you're in Belize who the boss is. And I first walked up to her, and it was chaotic, and I was 2 days late from the mission trip, and I said, "Hi, how can I help you?" And everyone's like, "Pastor Matt." I was feeling really good on myself. And without missing a beat, I could tell that she must be Paula, the one everyone talks about. And I just said, "How can I help?" Because I knew it was chaotic. She looked at me for 1 second and said, "Pick up trash." And then she was back doing her thing. And I knew what to do, and I picked up every piece of trash I could. Well, Paula is here to share with us, as we are beginning Advent, we are looking at the prophecy of Isaiah, who 700 years before the birth of Christ said, the people who have walked in darkness will see a great light, and a child will be born to you, a son will be given, the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So would you help me welcome Paula?
Thank you. Hello, church. Hi, my name is Paula Salazar, and I'm glad that you're joining us today. How many of you are still digesting turkey? I hope you had a wonderful time with your family. I spent Thanksgiving with the Hooks family up north, as Pastor Matt said. And other than them being an incredible, loving, warm family, let me tell you, they know how to cook. And for those who've just heard the pick up trash story, this past few days, he got back at me. On the first days, it was all the loving, the all-you-can-eat, loving family experiences until Friday. Friday, Pastor Matt and Lee made their kids and I split and stock firewood. They would, thankfully, there was this, like, wood splitter. And so, but yet, there was so much wood. They said all this wood was for Christmas, and it made me wonder that other than heating up the house and making a fire, would they, like, wrap up some of this wood and give it out to their neighbors? Because there was so much. That night, instead of counting sheep to fall asleep, I counted split wood. And I'm still sore. Will you bow your heads with me to pray? God, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on this earth for all of our sins. Thank you for your wonderful counselor. Lord, I pray that you may open our ears so that we can hear more from you. I pray that you use me, God, and let it not be me, but let it be you. We love you, Lord. Amen. So, will you take a minute with me and think, what would your life look like without all the people who've offered you advice? All the people who've supported you? All the people who've helped you one way or another? Maybe your parents who show you the right from the wrong, or they help you make a decision, or your teachers who provide you knowledge to prepare you for the future, or your small group leaders who care for you through your spiritual growth, or your pastors who motivate you and coach you in your spiritual walk, or your doctors who help you get better, or your supervisors who show you how the work is done. Or maybe your spouses who surely make all your mistakes very, very clear. All these leaders and all these people, in some way, they've helped you, they've counseled you, they've encouraged you one way. Today I want to talk to you about the wonderful counselor and how a life guided by him can turn into a purpose-driven life. We want to start off by taking a look at Isaiah 6:9, and it says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." In the beginning of this passage, for those who have their Bibles, on my Bible, this passage is titled The Hope of the Messiah. And it speaks of the various ways the people of Israel will be delivered, they will be prosper, and of course, they will be blessed with this wonderful counselor who would be there for them to direct them, to help them. And when you hear the word counselor, for me, it reminds me of the need of guidance that I have. From when we were born, we need direction. We need guidance until our last day. Or maybe sometimes we're broken or hurt. Or some days we might just be drowned in confusion. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to choose. Or downhearted. Or you might just need someone to let out everything that you're going through. That describes a stage in the life of my family a couple years ago. This is my, for those who don't know, this is my wonderful family. I have three brothers and a younger sister. And this was for my brother's wedding. And she, in the middle, she's the girl who stole my wonderful sister-in-law. But life, our family all started first with my mom. She's, like Pastor Matt said, she is the most exuberant, amazing, loving human being I've ever met. And it's not just because she's my mom, but seriously, she is amazing. But her life wasn't this way all throughout. From little, when she was born, and my grandparents, they put her for adoption, and my great grandparents took her in, and then they put her in a nun's convent. She grew up in a nun's convent, and as soon as she was old enough to get out of this place, she moved to a country called Peru in South America, where she met my biological father, who was very wealthy, but also very manipulating. And after some years, she had my older siblings and I. And there, my biological father became very abusive, to the point where my mom was in the hospital over 10 times because of how abusive he was. And after some years, my mom got away to run away from my biological father to a country called El Salvador. in Central America. And there, we went through custody, and my mom remarried my stepdad, who's like my dad, an amazing godly man, amazing godly leader for our family. And one day, my parents got up, and they said, we just got a job offered in Belize, and we're going to move there in a couple months. And you know, you're young, and you're like, a couple months later, we did move to Belize. And being there, they got a job offered from the ambassador who represents Belize in El Salvador. And they work for the first months until when my parents found out he was a big fraud and had huge debts. And the company they were working for went bankrupt. And now we were found in a foreign country, not knowing the language and not knowing anyone in the country. And I remember we went through some really, really rough times. My dad, he's an industrial engineering profession, but he couldn't find any job because he didn't know the language. And so he started working in a citrus farm. And working there, for some reason, things just got worse. And my both of my parents got surgeries, one after the other, like a week apart. And so I remember my oldest brother, he quit college and he found a full-time job. And I couldn't go to school, one, because there was no money for me to go to school. We had to travel. We lived in the northern part of Belize. And the other, because I had to take care of my parents. And even though I missed like 3 months of school, I remember walking into the high school and just declaring the word of God and saying that if I honor my parents, everything will work for my good. And it did. I didn't fail the school year. And so through all this rough time, I remember we shared meals among my siblings. And I remember my brother coming from work, and he would ask me if I've eaten something, and I would lie and say no because because I wanted him to have the last meal. And I don't regret this. Like, if it was for me to live again, I would so live it again. Because I don't have any memory of praying for my siblings and caring for them as much as I did through those times. I remember we didn't have any electricity, and I would go into my closet and shut the door and just cry myself out. God felt so real. God was truly my provider, our provider. We saw the most amazing miracles. And my little sister, she's 13 years old right now, but she remembers being really young and kneeling down and praying for provision because we didn't even have salt at home. And the most random people who we least expected will show up on their doorstep and drop a food of provision for us. And it was surely God. And so we grew as a family. We grew closer together. And we grew in our spiritual lives. Everything that was written in the Word of God, when the Israelites were hungry and manna came down from heaven, that was real. And through all this, things got a little bit better, and my family moved to the western part of Belize, where my mom, she just can't keep still, so she started helping people. And she started a small Bible study. She did not only try to help them physically. It was the poor helping the poor. I grew up in a home where my parents will have fights and quarrel because my mom would give away some of her food. And so as she started a small group, the group got bigger and bigger, and now it's a church. But we had to find ways how to help these people because there were more coming, and there was more need, and there was more to supply to. And so we found ways to economize things and keep things going. And we came after a lot of animals and a lot of dirt and a lot of practices on our backyard with ducks and chickens and rabbits to see what grows better, what grows faster, what we can do to feed people. We came up with the broiler chicken program where we would give a batch of chickens to a family. A percentage, 20% goes to the family, 10% goes to the feeding program, and the remaining percent comes back to the church where we make a barbecue sale to get new funds to buy a new batch of chickens for another family. And this program grew so much and helped so many lives. It's just amazing. We also did the laying hens where we got eggs for families. We also had a gardening program. We started backyard gardening. People in really remote places, they don't have a great diet. And it's not because they don't want to, because they, you know, it's not because they have variety, but it's because they can't afford it. And so maybe you planted gardens in Belize. And so this helps a lot of families. We also started a sewing program where females in different villages will come together in a house to sew, to learn how to sew. And this ministry started because we went into bars in the different bars in the communities, and we started witnessing to prostitutes. And we found out that most of the females that work in these places were working there because they needed to provide for their family, and they were immigrants from other countries who didn't know how to speak the language and didn't know what else to do. And so the sewing program grew so much, it got into some of the groups started doing crochet also. And it gave the ladies and females who couldn't make it to school a way how to create an income. And lately we've started a cake decorating class, which is just amazing. These ladies, they bake an awesome cake for my birthday. But all the females that you see there, I don't have the time to tell each and every one of their stories, but they all have wonderful stories of being empowered with just 3 months of learning how to decorate a cake. And we also have an amazing children's ministry. And we provide a feeding program for them after the Sunday school. And it's kids come from everywhere. And it's kids after kids. It's unbelievable how many kids they are. And we minister kids in different areas around our community, and we have leaders in each area who minister them. All these lives, local people who have been changed. This lady down here, that palm leaf that you see on the ground, that's her cutting board. And that chicken that's right next to the leaf, that's a chicken that my mom brought for their family so they can have a nice meal. Her knife is a machete. There was a on this picture on the right, that shed, there was a family who lived under that shed. The man right next to that picture, he bakes his bread in an old stove and puts firewood on top and firewood in the bottom. Life that have been empowered. And these are just some of the many, many stories. Life that have been empowered, encouraged, blessed. People that have come to Christ. And not only people locally in Belize, but also people here from this church. How many of you have been to Belize and have been blessed one way or the other? Thank you. All these people. And we can never take credit for the amazing things happening in the lives of the people being touched and changed. And you might, you know, why am I telling you this? I'm not telling you this for you to feel sorry for me. I'm not telling you this for that when I leave, when I go into the atrium, you pat me on my back and you say, Paula, it's amazing what you guys are doing in Belize. I'm telling you this because I want you to see what a life can be when it's directed by the wonderful counselor. He is the wonderful person who, when you think you can't do it, he reminds you of how capable he created you to be. When you feel ignored and rejected, he loves on you so strong with his unconditional love. It makes you forget how you felt before. When you don't see an end to your problems, he reminds you of all his promises to you. When you're discouraged or downhearted, he ignites passion and strength inside of you. This amazing counselor wants to guide your life today, just as he did with the Israelites hundreds of years ago, just as he did with my family, and just as he's doing with me. As Isaiah was spurring the Israelites to remember the Messiah, I encourage you today to seek for his wonderful guidance, for this wonderful counselor who is crazy to love you and direct your life. His guidance will always be true. He will never do something to harm you. He will ultimately will always be the best way to go. He always has your best interests at heart because he loves you.